Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this teleseminar called Transform Your Energy, Transform Your Life. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you all to this evening's call. Now, in a moment from now, I'll be welcoming my very good friend, Craig Burton, to the line, but before I do that, I just wanted to actually run you through what will actually happen this evening on the call. Now, we're going to be sharing around an hour this evening, and over the course of that hour, I'll be asking Craig a whole host of different questions on how to actually create vibrant health and energy. And many of those questions were actually submitted through the website when people were signing up for the call. And I've just gone through the whole selection of different questions. There were some excellent ones in there, and I'll just be quizzing Craig on them as we go along. And also, hopefully, at the end of the call, we may have some time to take a couple of questions from the line, but we'll see how we go on that. Okay, so just to give you a bit of background on Craig, now I first met Craig maybe 2 or 3 years ago here in London through an organisation called Toastmasters. It's a public speaking organisation. And I guess when I first met Craig, the one thing that I was absolutely thrilled about was that he was a fellow Aussie in London. But the one thing that really struck me about Craig was his vibrant levels of health and energy. And as we became friends, I later on found out that he was a fitness coach and had a real passion for living an ecstatic life full of life and full of energy. And yeah, like he's, I suppose for me personally, if I ever have a health query or concern, Craig is definitely one of the first guys that I have a chat to, and I feel very lucky to be in his inner circle of his knowledge base. So without further ado, I'd just like to welcome my very good friend to the call, Craig Burton. How are you doing, Craig?
I'm very well, mate. Let me say g'day from Perth, WA. Good morning, and other side of the world. People.
Yeah, now I just...
I don't know if you've got any Aussies signed up, have you, right now, getting up at 5 a.m.?
Yeah, no, we did have a couple of Aussies sign up for the call, so...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it is an international call. Now, just to let everyone know, Craig, it's actually 5 a.m. in the morning there, so you know, I just wanted to really say that we appreciate you jumping out of bed so early on a Friday morning just to share your insights and wisdom with us this evening.
My absolute pleasure, and like I said, just an early start. Making the most of my time here. I'm heading back to Europe in a few days. Looking forward to heading down the beach after this and kind of make the most of it.
Great. Now, you live quite an international lifestyle these days, Craig. I thought we could just start off with just sharing with people the breadth of how your particular expertise is delivered around the world and the kind of things that you're up to in the world at the moment with your health coaching.
Yeah, I'd love to. I suppose I'm lucky. I got a job that does involve a little bit of travelling because I love travelling, and especially coming back here to Australia, anytime I can get a chance, if anyone says, hey, do you want to do something in Australia, I'm always like, yeah, hands up. So over Christmas, coming back for family, but then I've just returned from the Gold Coast now and Sydney, just teaching massage.
Okay.
And then my business at the moment is centred, or I kind of to and fro from Germany and the UK, so I'll be back in the UK in 2 weeks. And then, I mean, last year I got a chance to kind of get out to Canada and talk to people out there and Hawaii. It's an amazing lifestyle, plenty of racking up the frequent flyer points, but always interesting to note the little differences in people and their opinions and kind of what they're doing at the moment, which is always interesting, how they're kind of, they're working on in their health, and whether I'm teaching massage or something else, their approaches to their health and fitness.
Yeah. And do you find that particular health challenges are concentrated in different areas, or is it quite universal?
In terms of the different people from different countries, I think there's always a different kind of approach. A lot of things depend, even if I look on a simple level of weather, like the Australian approach is definitely outdoorsy, a lot of exercise outdoors, while say an English, in terms of the weather, winter, you'll see a lot of people getting into the gyms and all the rest, and it does, weather does make a difference in terms of things even like motivation.
Yeah.
It's sunny outside, you're wanting to play sport, you're wanting to play, you know, do certain things outside and have that, this, I think they do down here maybe have a little bit easier than, especially at summertime, you just have to watch out for the heat and maybe too much sun, but it does make a difference, and I think everyone will know in the UK how the seasons do affect people. And, I think that definitely flows over to their approach, but I suppose everybody in the end is aiming for the same goals in terms of having that, as we say, functional health, function and well-being and optimal health, and I think we're going for the same goal, but we kind of use our resources maybe a little bit differently and kind of were affected by maybe a few different factors on the way.
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely remember when I moved to the UK around 8 years ago, just some interesting, I guess, necessary changes in my approach to fitness. Now, up until that time, I hadn't actually ever run on a treadmill or a running machine. And like in Australia, there was just no concept in my mind of why anyone would want to run on a treadmill as opposed to running around the park in the beautiful sunshine. And when I first got to London, it was certainly a shock to have to focus my running indoors. I was just wondering if you had any challenges acclimatising when you first moved over to London from Perth, Gary.
Well, I think the big thing, I think as a working perspective, in terms of my clients, I'd be training them outside, and then suddenly I found myself in a basement of a gym, not having any sunlight for 8 hours a day or something, and trying to just go up and get some air and get some sunlight. And I suppose that's a tough thing, first of all. Like, just kind of getting used to that and saying, okay, every chance during summer you'd find me kind of in Hyde Park or something, just going, no, can we go outside? and definitely in terms of, there is that different environment and it shapes it in terms of gyms, because I used to do a lot of stuff outside, and I'm interested in how the body's moving and body weight exercises and free weights, and suddenly I worked obviously in gyms over here, but I'm more of an outdoorsy sort of person. So kind of getting used to that and adapting your own techniques and going, okay, this is what we need to use, and saying to clients, hey, but watch out for those machine weights because they're not doing you any good so you really at the start, kind of for me, it was just getting used to it all and kind of saying, all right, well, how can I make the best of this, and kind of really in terms of helping the clients get that feeling of kind of that, even that outdoorsy sort of feeling, doing exercises that weren't constrained by the gym.
Yeah.
Which some people look at me funny when I'm doing this funny stuff with clients. Why don't you just put them in a machine and go, do another 10, I'll count you. So it was a funny experience. Great to kind of understand then the battles that other people have.
Yeah, sure. And I guess one of the other things I was really interested to find more about, now you've had a really diverse range of exposures to different areas of personal fitness and health, from the worlds of yoga to Feldenkrais to some theatre training. You're also a black belt. I was just wondering how you actually take all these various different bodies of information and bring them all together into the work that you do.
Yeah, I suppose I've always been interested in freeing the body up and kind of looking and saying, well, we kind of put limitations on ourselves in physically through injuries and all the rest, and then obviously a huge mental approach. And I suppose I've always been interested in kind of trying to shatter that and see what the body could do, and I think martial arts really kind of cemented that for me. And then the other side was, well, martial arts in terms of the training, but then I was always fascinated by theatre, and especially physical theatre, and seeing, well, what a person could express. So they train up their body and all the rest, but then kind of how do you take that into the real world? And watching certain actors who have this amazing ability to just express a range of motions and express their meaning and express what they have to say. And I think for myself that was as a goal as a young kind of guy, and going on, bumbling kind of my way through teenage and then the young 20s and all that, and thinking, well, maybe I can express myself a little bit better. And I think martial arts gave me a huge amount of confidence, but then I suppose the the aspects of theatre allowed me to really kind of test that, and at times, I mean, really bring it out, and hopefully bring it out a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for something new that I think, wow, that person, if I meet somebody and I think, wow, there's something about that person, and I find out, okay, you've done such and such, and I go, I'm interested in looking into that. I want to see what part of that Feldenkrais for me, or that Alexander technique, or yoga, or something like that, how did that bring out that more energy and kind of that vitality in that person? So it's kind of just led me one to the other, and some I've spent a while on, like martial arts took a huge part of my life, and even in that it was a freestyle martial arts, so we didn't just look at all the physical aspects, but there were a lot of kind of mental and even, I'd say, spiritual parts to it, in terms of the meditation, those aspects. So, yeah, I even today I'm looking and going, okay, well, there's so much out there, and see how I can integrate it into my life and integrate it, importantly, into my clients' lives, because everybody reacts differently too, and some clients I do go, well, let's try this approach. Some people, it's very physical, and we'll get on the pads and we'll punch away and we'll do this, while some people take more of a yoga sort of, we'll start that sort of way, and flexibility, and we'll try to access what they need through the different elements, or kind of what I've taken on. So it's definitely helped being kind of open to something new.
It reminded me of reading a book called How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci. And it was written by a guy called Michael Gelb. And Michael Gelb, amongst many other things, is one of the world's, or is the world's foremost authority on the life of Leonardo da Vinci. And through his study of Leonardo's life, he distilled all the different approaches to living from Leonardo. And just to give people a bit of a background, Leonardo was considered to be a genius in around 35 or 36 different fields of endeavour, from science all the way through to the arts. And well, one of the real core ingredients to his ability to do that, like Michael Gelb believes, was his curious nature. And just hearing you describe just that real thirst and that real curiosity for knowledge and information, and not being too fixed in on existing ideas and just being able to play, I think is a really amazing quality to have in your personal makeup, and it's great that you get an opportunity to bring that into your health philosophies as well. Okay.
Being back here, I see it around my nieces and nephews who keep me on my toes, and that thirst, and even if I'm teaching them a little bit of German or something, and they just pick it up, and they're just open to it, and whatever games we're playing and sports, and they're just, I think that mentality goes a long way.
Yeah.
Kids really go, wow, they can learn a language at 3 years old, and I'm in awe.
Terrific. Now, Craig, you run a business called Three Dimensional Personal Training Systems.
Systems?
Now, this really is the new frontier of personal training and health, having an integrative and a holistic approach to well-being. And in the three dimensions, there are three key points to what it is that you offer. And I was just wondering if you could take us through those three points of fitness, nutrition and mind one by one, and talk about how you actually work through those concepts with clients and people that you advise.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I suppose, in my experience, that a lot of the, I don't like to call them failures, but a lot of reasons why people haven't achieved their goals is when we've stood back and kind of looked, and I've said, all right, what have you done so far? Because a lot of people have tried certain things, and say, let's put the general box of even weight loss. People have come and said, hey, I've tried this diet, and I've tried kind of, I've run on the treadmill three times a week for an hour, and I still haven't really changed. And I suppose I was lucky. I had a good childhood. My parents had a fruit and veg shop, and I was involved in sport all the time and had a good kind of that sort of upbringing. And so I've always known, in terms of the elements, that it's more than just one. For people who just do a diet, there's a lot lacking. So in terms of the nutrition aspects, the mind aspects and the body aspects, I'll just kind of give you a quick rundown, but
yeah,
a lot of times it starts with the mind. And I want to know, with a new client, what makes them tick? What's inspiring them? Kind of, we had this pleasure-pain sort of theory, and I think pain can be okay at times, but I always kind of want to know, well, what's actually inspiring them? And I think for people out there to kind of really take that on and say, okay, well, what will this get me? What is all this going to... I mean, because it is hard work at times.
Yeah.
In terms of going to a farmer's market or picking that better produce, getting up a little bit earlier so you can make yourself a nice meal, or getting up a little bit earlier to actually do some exercise. And I think a lot of times it starts in the mind. Sometimes not, I'll get straight into the body and go, okay, well, that's where we're going to shift. But generally the mind, where people need to define kind of what they want, what their goals are. What does it mean for them to have optimal health and fitness? Because it is a little bit different, and especially the more specific they can make it, I think the closer they'll be getting to it, where they actually have something that is a direct target. So mind's a big one. And then I think the big thing, like I said, with mind is asking good questions. Always asking good questions about yourself. Well, how can I get about this? And what do I need? What resources? And what people around me will support me in this? And kind of setting up a great space in terms of your mind to then go into, okay, well, let's look at the body. Now, a lot of people, when I've seen it, and people go, okay, well, the big kind of push at the moment, again, if we're staying with the fat loss, is people say, well, I've got to run, don't I, to lose weight? And I kind of say, well, no. And there's more to it than just that. And I say, well, isn't it that thing in terms of, if I wanted to lose weight, the more calories that I burn, like, then the more weight I'm going to lose? And I'm saying, well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. So in terms of the body and the physical and the training aspects, the physical training, there are three components that I think people need to be made aware of. There is the cardiovascular component.
Okay.
There is also a muscle building a component, which I always have to highlight very quickly, because I hear people going, oh, what, go in the gym and do weights and get kind of muscles and all that. It's resistance training. Your body, especially after the age of 30, our poor old muscles start shrinking, and we kind of, gravity kind of takes its weight, and you see people in terms of their posture, because suddenly you've got gravity and you've got work and all the rest, and a lot of the muscles are switching off. And so it's necessary to actually keep them working. But that can mean yoga, that can mean Pilates, that can mean, for sure, free weights, circuits, so many possibilities out there. So for me, the need for muscle is a big one. For anyone who says, hey, I really want to, in terms of lose some weight, I want to tone up, I want to help improve my posture, then you've really got to look at having a balanced weight training program. And that, like I said, balance could mean go do some yoga two to three times a week. And then, which leads me on to flexibility. And you see the two can jump over and kind of cross. Some, you'll find some classes kind of do a little bit of weight training, they do a little bit of cardio. I mean, you're working your heart during a circuit, which is cardio anyway, anything that gets the heart moving. And then you've got the flexibility aspects. They're, again, the big three dimensions. Then nutrition and lifestyle, and people kind of say, well, I tried the diet. I tried Weight Watchers. It didn't work. And I say, okay, well, let's have a chat about this calorie thing, because a lot of people get caught up in counting calories and really cutting the calories. And I was down to 1,500 calories. And I'm saying, well, the first thing is not all calories are the same. The calorie you get from your bit of white bread is a little bit different from your vegetables. So let's kind of not put it all in a box. And just to kind of, again, briefly go over this and to say, well, what you need to look at in terms of nutrition, everyone says let's have a balanced diet, but unfortunately kind of what's thrown around, especially within the government circles and a lot of institutions, is this thing called a food pyramid, where they have, okay, I've got all these grains at the bottom, and then I might kind of, up there I have my fruit and veggies, hasn't really worked for us. So overall kind of philosophy on that is you want plenty of, you want to have all aspects. You want to have your carbohydrates. A lot of people then say, well, what about fat? Is fat good for me or bad for me? And I say, well, there are some bad fats for sure, and there are some good fats. Good fats are going to help in terms of your hormone levels. They're going to help you feel a lot better. I mean, in terms of the brain, how much it's composed of fat. So it definitely, these fat-free diets are scary. And if you see most fat-free foods, they have things like artificial sweeteners like aspartame, which aren't doing a lot of good for your brain anyway as a neurotoxin. So you want to be in terms of never neglecting any of these components. And then protein, which is a huge part in itself, and going, okay, well, what sort of foods make up protein? I know it's meat, but say if we have vegetarian callers today, what else kind of makes that up? So let me quickly go through that for a second. Carbohydrates, you two parts. There's the fibrous ones, which are your veggies, which should be, in my opinion, for the majority of people, the backbone. They should be your half a plate of veggies. And finding ways to really enjoy vegetables. The other part is the starchy ones, which we know generally the below-ground vegetables. So if we call the fibrous ones the above-ground, then the starchy ones are the below-ground, like the potatoes. But also your grains. With those, there's a difference. There's something called biochemical individuality, which I won't go into. There is some stuff on my site in terms of that. But basically it's saying people, because of our ancestry, our current climate, our stress levels and all that, well, we may need a little bit of our food kind of differences. But that's one that needs to be in there. I sometimes cut it out at the start to if someone's got insulin problems, but it needs to be in there, but definitely not the same level as your vegetables. They need to take kind of precedence. And then in terms of you're having a source of protein, which could be meat, it could be something from dairy, but I'm not a big fan of, in terms of the milk, but it's something could be like your yogurts, and then your poultry, and then if you, obviously, some of the grains cross over, and mixing grains like your beans, your lentils, and even mixing with rice makes a better combination. So if people can add fats, which the other component, where you're looking and going, okay, well, the bad fats, everyone kind of knows there's saturated and there's unsaturated fats, and the saturated ones are the bad guys. And again, that's not the absolute case. I mean, coconut oil, fantastic. Anything that's hard generally is saturated. So you want to be looking and going, okay, well, maybe I'm going to trim the meat a little bit, but I'm not going to neglect in terms of butter itself. I mean, butter versus margarine, it's a big one, and butter definitely takes precedence. Margarine is one of the bad guys, these hydrogenated oils that they kind of make up with 10 different ingredients and heat it and add a little bit of nickel and add a little bit of that, colourings and flavourings. So you want to really, that sort of balance.
And just then, sort of to you want to jump in there, Craig.
Sorry, mate.
Like one of the things I saw on your site and one of your videos on YouTube, which I thought was actually really blown away by, and that is the whole butter versus margarine. And I think, like, in the world of health, there's so much mythology that permeates the spheres of advertising and marketing. And I guess the way margarine is marketed, you'd almost consider it to be a health product. And I think just watching your YouTube video, because it was actually, like, in terms of what you described, it was like one molecule away from being a plastic. And
yeah,
that's really not information that's commonly spread around the world. So I just thought that was really useful for me personally, and I just wanted to quickly highlight that as well.
Yeah. I suppose in terms of advertising, I have a general rule, and it's generally the more advertising or money they spend on it, the worse the product is. I mean, how much money is spent on, like, go down and buy your local celery and carrots? I mean,
yeah.
Not too much. So these products out there, and especially I look at Australian TVs, and just, God, for parents, it's tough. I think Australia is one of the biggest offenders when it comes to actually poor child food advertising. I mean, Ronald McDonald is up I don't know how many times, and you've got all these little lollies and chocolates and this in between, especially during kind of feeding time, like dinner time and all the rest. And
yeah.
So that's a tough one. So I think the more you see the product, the more they're telling you it's good, it's good, it's good, the more I kind of go scratch my head and kind of think, really? look deeper into this.
Yeah.
And you find out, it's one molecule from plastic. Oh, it's good for your cholesterol. we'll see about that.
It's a very good rule of thumb.
Money, what money can buy you today in terms of studies and all the rest, and I think that's a big thing for me in terms of keeping up with all the research, and I've really got to kind of be on my toes and think, okay, well, where's the funding coming from? Is there someone behind all this causing this? Because, unfortunately, there aren't too many absolute independent studies today. So you've really got to have your kind of filters on and go, okay, well, you're telling me it's good for my heart, it's good for cholesterol and all that. Let's have a look, what's the product made up of? And that's where I encourage people to kind of look at those labels and say, are there words that you don't understand?
Mm.
Which often there is if it's kind of been processed. And another rule is, if you don't understand it, then I'd be very careful. And the other one is, the more times man touches it, this is a big general rule, the worse it gets. Sometimes it does get better. We have certain fermented foods and all that, and we've looked after and we've kind of done those old traditional methods. But generally, the more we touch the food, the more we're stripping out of it. So,
I think that's an excellent rule of thumb.
Yeah, you've definitely got to be on your toes when you're shopping.
Yeah. Now, Craig, we covered so much material there, so I just wanted to quickly just tie that all together. So from a three-dimensional personal training point of view, and certainly correct me if I miss anything out here, there are three core elements. There's the mind, there's the body or the fitness aspects of being healthy, and there's also nutrition. And
lifestyle. What I did,
and lifestyle.
I mean, two things, like, sorry, mate, water and sleep. I want to kind of get on my soapbox and then share this sort of stuff. I love to, it's kind of all just suddenly pours out. But water and sleep, two ones that huge effects on the body. So nutrition and lifestyle, so mind, body, nutrition and lifestyle. Those are the big kind of three.
Brilliant.
My books.
Excellent. As I said earlier on in the call, we had some really tremendous questions that actually came through, and I was just going to start by asking a few of those questions to you now, Craig.
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to start off with a question from Deborah in the United States, and I thought this was a great question because I could definitely relate to that feeling like a few years ago in my life when I was actually still drinking coffee. Yeah, I'm just going to ask you Deborah's question. And Deborah asks, do you wake up and do coffee or caffeine in the morning, or do you have a different way of waking up?
That is a great question. Because so many do. And it's like a lifeblood in a sense. Like, I need my coffee.
Yeah.
And any time we really need something, then we have to really watch out. And I think... we do need certain things, like we need water and food and all the rest, but anything like, say, a coffee, I think, I do have a different approach. I'm quite, right in front of me, I wake up every morning and right in front of me is a couple of glasses of water. I got my little jug and my water, and I mean, this morning I put a little bit of lemon in it, get me started, helps my liver or anything like that. It's nice, refreshing in this weather too.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody, look, you have to start the day rehydrating. You've had a fast for a while, you're breaking the fast, your body's dehydrated, depending on, and specifically with certain climates, a lot more than other times, but you might add heating or air conditioning, but anyway, your body's done so many processes that night, it needs that rehydration to start the day. So if you're then suddenly whacking in some coffee or something else, you're dehydrating your body even further.
Mm.
And there's no wonder then that people are kind of entering a cycle. Now, caffeine's going to help you and perk you up a little bit, but overall, in terms of the energy, you're running on that little drug.
Yeah.
So I definitely say, look, if you enjoy coffee, great. There are some things like I have the 80-20 rule. There are some things we just love to enjoy. If you enjoy a glass of wine, great. Just watch out when it becomes those habits, when you need those certain things. You've got to have every day a beer after work or a glass of wine with your dinner. Then you lose that appreciation for that thing. So every morning, it's a huge one. Start the day, knock off a couple of glasses of water or herbal teas or something that rehydrates the body.
Yeah, I like that, because actually having the jug by the bed and just, I suppose, just having a whole routine around it where you wake up, you drink a couple of glasses of water, and then you've really got your day off to a great start. Okay, this one's from Caroline, and Caroline's in the United Kingdom, and Caroline asks, no matter how much sleep I get, I never wake up feeling awake. I always feel like I need more sleep. I'd love to wake up and not want to doze back off to sleep. You did mention it earlier on, Greg,
yeah.
Sleep's such a big part of the vibrant lifestyle. Just wondering if you could give Caroline some tips.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of nutrition lifestyle, sleep is such a vital component. And anyone who kind of comes to me and says, hey, I get 8 hours, I get 10 hours, and I'm still tired. I've got to look and I've got to ask myself, well, what's robbing that person of energy? Why does that person need that many hours, or say, let's say, the 10 plus hours?
Yeah.
Or why do they have their 8 hours and they're still tired? What happened? And so you've got to kind of go through a checklist and ask yourself, well, what's, again, taking my energy, robbing my energy away? And it could be something like, obviously, work is so demanding, relationships, money, those sort of big ones, but then also toxins. What you're eating, what you're drinking, like, are you kind of shoveling in some fast food regularly with a couple of Cokes and all the rest, so your body's kind of at night going, whoa, we got to detox, and it wakes up and it goes, nah, we need more time, give us a little bit more time, please. So you've got to look at kind of your health at the moment and what you're doing to it, and ask yourself, okay, are there things that are taking away my energy? Because that's what it all is. A general rule is, the more sleep we're kind of needing, the more the body is saying, okay, I need more time to kind of rejuvenate. Because that's that process. Now, I think 6 to 8 hours should be normal, but you should be waking up feeling like, cool, let's get it going, let's get the day going. So look at those aspects. Maybe you are getting to bed too late. And I think a good rule, again, sometimes I live by these rules, because it helps people kind of say, okay, well, every hour before 12 is worth 2 after. So you're getting into that mood going, okay, well, let's see if we can get to bed a little bit earlier, because it does make a big difference. And again, things like water, like drinking enough. Am I waking up? Am I drinking enough water? How did I get to sleep last night? Did I kind of watch a lot of television and my mind is still clicking over, so I'm not even entering a deep sleep? So I definitely would say, look at what you're doing at the moment and kind of ask yourself, well, what potentially could be robbing yourself?
Yeah.
And then from there say, can I reduce that? Now, some people can't reduce their stress at work or anything, but can I take other methods? Maybe I'm going to do, when I get home, I'm not going to switch the telly on. I'm going to read a book instead. Or
yeah.
I'm going to really look at, I'm drinking throughout the day, and I'm going to look at my kind of nutritional plan at the moment and say, well, okay, I can help myself this way. But again, that three-dimensional looking at all aspects and what's robbing the body, basically.
Yeah, that's great advice. And certainly I've definitely had that experience as well with sleep. Any time that I do get to bed before 12, it does make a big difference in terms of how I pull up the next day.
Going on that, in Chinese medicine, basically, they say that from the hours of 10 to 2, you do most of your physical recovery. And then from a 2 to 6 perspective, you're doing a lot of the neurological or mental recovery. So if you're missing, and say something like the gallbladder in Chinese medicine does a lot of the detoxing around 11 o'clock, and as again, it's a rough figure and it's dependent on, obviously, we're in different seasons and all the rest, but let's say it kicks off quite early, you miss that phase. You're missing a chance again to detox the body and to really heal the body overnight. So, definitely the earlier to bed, the better.
Yeah.
Especially in winter. Especially for you guys over there. These guys out here, they can... I suppose winter, you really got to look after your body a lot more. While in summer out here, go out a little bit later. You can kind of... Summer, there's something about some of the energy that it brings. But in winter, you really have to kind of see, okay, well, I've got to be a little bit kinder to my body because it's going through a little bit more stress with the elements.
Yeah. Okay, this one's from Helena from the UK, and her question was around emotional eating. And Helena asks, I know I do a lot of emotional eating, and I'm now not sure just what hungry feels like anymore. How can I get back to knowing what that feels like? I thought that was a great question.
Yeah, it is, and there is, in terms of emotional eating, there is a lot of people kind of I fall into that bracket. And generally, emotional eating then results, you don't usually go out and eat a bowl of vegetables and a little bit of meat, you have your starch and you have a bit of fat on top. It's usually something that's maybe not supporting your body as it should be. And people kind of yell out, say, oh, a bit of chocolate, a bit of this and a bit of that. In terms of having wanting this hunger feeling back, I suppose I wouldn't think about that too much at the start. I would even think, if I was speaking to Helen directly, I would be saying, well, let's treat it like you're drinking water. Now, if you leave drinking water till you're thirsty, your body's already started dehydrating. So you're already kind of behind the eight ball. So what I tell people is, throughout the day, take your 2-litre bottle and be drinking constantly. And a little sipping throughout the day, except with meals. It's a big one because you're starting to reduce the enzymes and the acids that are breaking the food down. So this digestive process, you're not helping that. But outside of these times, you want to be drinking a lot of water and not waiting till you're thirsty. So take that rule to eating where I recommend people eat 4 to 6 times a day and 6 even better. Now, when I say that, people go, wow, that could be a lot of food, but eating those smaller meals, constantly telling your body, hey, you're getting a little bit more food every, it might be 3 hours, I'm going to give you something. You don't have to worry about the insulin levels being kind of going really high and then my body crashing and all the rest that's associated, but I'm constantly kind of stoking the fire, and when I'm stoking the fire, you don't need to worry that I'm kind of going to make you hungry and we'll go through this famine and then you start putting on fat. Because that's part of the thing. The body thinks, well, I'm not eating for a few hours. Someone starves themselves and they go, well, I might have to store some. I don't know when I'll get my next meal. So I would definitely say eat those small meals regularly. Don't worry about that feeling of hunger or waiting for that to eat. Actually just go, all right, it's been 3 hours. I've got to put something in my mouth. I need to, what can we do? It's a snack, so I might try something like a piece of fruit with some yogurt or something, or some nuts and some seeds, or if it's my meals, or I break up my lunch. Now, there's 2 parts to my lunch. And getting out of this, breakfast, I'll have the kind of the bagel or whatever, and then lunch I've got my sandwich, and then dinner I have my big dinner, but going, let's see if we can graze throughout the day. And that's one of the big secrets, really, not waiting for those. Because by the end of the day, people eat huge meals because they're so hungry.
Yeah.
Because they've been kind of starving their body throughout the day, and that's the dinner should, in essence, be the smallest meal.
Yeah.
It should be at the start of the day. The breakfast and the lunch should be the big ones.
Yeah.
And then keep it fueled with those snacks.
Yeah, and I think it's great. And quite often that's like a real flip of what most of us have been taught. I know growing up in Australia, the tradition certainly was to have a big evening meal, so I think it's just having those shorter or smaller meals throughout the day just to keep you feeling great is some good advice. Now, another core area that actually came through with the questions was the whole area of motivation, and motivation to get out there on the track and or get into the gym or go for a walk, and that came through in quite a few of the different questions that came through, but I was just going to just ask Iris this question. And Iris is from Germany. And Iris So she may actually live close to you, Craig. You never know.
Far from you? Just go. Can I jump between the two?
And RSR, how can I make myself get up and do exercises? When I'm up for it, I usually don't have time, in brackets, in the morning, and in the evening, I'm just exhausted and tired. Can you please help?
Yeah. Motivation, hey? Getting the ball rolling, especially when people are starting a program, I think that's the hardest time and the most kind of fragile time, because it's like, oh, this is tough. Getting up, like, I've got to get up an hour earlier to do my jogging and all the rest. And I suppose what I'd be saying to Iris was, well, look, one, the motivation behind it, let's kind of look and let's build that up first of all. So let's know, well, why, what's lacking in your life? And you can hear it in the last sentence where it says, in the evening I'm exhausted and tired. So obviously one of the things she's talking about is energy. And so I'll be saying, all right, well, how can we increase your energy levels? Sort of things that are involved. And the other ones do feed into it. So when you're eating better, when you're sleeping better, when you're drinking more water, they're suddenly giving you more energy and especially helping you wake up in the morning better, which gives you more motivation. So I say define what you're after, first of all, for anyone. Kind of create that goal and what you're going to get out of it, and then look at a plan as a whole. But so I would look at it definitely from those sort of perspectives and say, well, how can we give Iris more energy? How can she give herself more energy? But especially when you're starting, I think, don't get locked up into those ideas that I've got to do it for an hour. Like, 20 minutes of good exercise, you may have a little rebound, you've got no space, you can't get to the gym, and you may think, well, I've got to do something, I might buy myself a Swiss ball and do some exercises there, or I'll get a little rebounder and have a little bounce in the morning, which is going to get all my blood going and get my energy up. I may do some yoga, I may just do some simple stretching for 20 minutes and then build from there. I'm not a big fan of people exercising or especially strenuous exercise in the evening. But you should be, after work exercise, I think, has a lot of pitfalls, because you should be kind of toning down and quieting down a little bit. And you're keeping, exercise has a huge impact on your hormonal system, and kind of, you want to be quietening down. So I don't recommend people do anything too strenuous after kind of dusk. Now, for a lot of people, they're going to say, well, I can't do that. That's the only time I get. And then I'm just want to say to those people, really be aware of it and say, how much can you add that isn't like the absolute strenuous kind of weight training and cardio, but can you add more of the stretching to that? Can you find a way to calm your body down? Because it's going to affect your sleep. So I'm more of a fan of morning or mid-morning in terms of exercise programs. And I mean lunch, but just definitely not after dusk. So for her, I'd say, well, look, what do we have available to us? And if you've just got a little room, let's see if you can put something in there. What do you enjoy? And let's see if we can kind of, out of what you enjoy, get those aspects. It might be doing a little bit of skipping for your cardio, or you even dancing to music, get yourself going in the morning. A little bit of body weight exercises. You might do some squats or lunges. You may use a stability ball to kind of do some exercises there, resistance-wise. And then you're adding your component of flexibility on top of that to really get your body stretched in the morning after you've been in this kind of fetal position or whatever position, lying in bed and kind of getting all tight, like watching the animals. They're always waking up and having a good stretch. So trying to get those three components into the morning. And it can be 5 minutes of this, 5 minutes of like doing a little bit of dance and getting warmed up, 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe of doing your Swiss ball or some sort of body weight exercise, or and then doing some stretching on top of that. But yeah, definitely just kind of thinking, okay, well, let's get going, let's just start doing it, and even if it's a small part, and I'm going to build myself up, and I'm going to look at my other aspects and then find the energy and build the energy as I'm going. Yeah. Not kind of wait for something, I don't know, wake up for those mornings when you haven't done anything, go, okay, where's that energy? But actually really just start to see where you can build more of it.
Yeah. I really love that approach, not just to health and fitness, but to life, just to really look at what's available in that one moment and just working from there and building on it from there. So I think that's really definitely sound advice in terms of the body and energy. Quite a few questions come through on illness and how to actually stay vibrant and focused in times of illness or around health challenges. And it came through from a few different people, but I'm just going to ask Trish's question. And Trish in the UK wanted to know how not to become dispirited by relapses in health conditions.
Yeah, I suppose in terms of people out there and saying, well, my condition at the moment doesn't allow me to do ABC. I think it's a case of working, especially at the start, working from where you're at. And maybe just even accepting, okay, part of it, I don't know kind of what's going on in Trish's life, so I can't obviously comment too much of what's affecting her. I do believe that when you're looking at the principles, that having a healthy kind of mind or kind of getting the thoughts right and then doing exercise, like I said, in terms of balanced exercise and then a good nutrition lifestyle, that it goes a long way to helping people with chronic illness. But especially at the start, it's maybe accepting where you're at and going, okay, this is my limitations at the start. And most people out there have limitations, some more than others, absolutely. And it's kind of your, here's part of your inspiration is going, well, I'm going to work with this and I'm going to see how I can kind of make the best of it. So we've always heard and we love stories where people have been kind of the underdog and had this illness come up and had this and really kind of found a way to overcome that. And I think that's where you do for people like that, have to dig deep and go, okay, I've got to accept where I am in one part, look at my lifestyle, look at my health and look what I'm kind of doing to that, see how I can help assist myself in terms of great healing my body, getting more energy to do that. And then go, okay, well, maybe I am restricted in a sense. Maybe I can only do certain, in terms of stretching and certain exercises that are very light. I can't do much of the cardio. I can't kind of do too much in terms of weight training. I get a lot of my joints and all the rest. I have arthritis. But just working from where you're at and then building from there. I kind of say, if you take control of the elements, like the nutrition, the mind, the body, and kind of really get into those and see how you can get more out of it, kind of get more for your buck, and then the rest you just kind of have to leave to someone else, whoever you kind of believe in, and just go, well, look, I'm going to work from here, and it's the best I can do for now, and let's see where we go.
Yeah.
Be open to where you go, and then just keep building on your successes.
Excellent. That's really good advice. I've got one more question I'm going to ask you, Craig, and this one's from Kate in the UK, and it was on the whole realm of vegetarianism and body fat. And this is a question from Kate. Hi, Craig. I hated being a fat vegetarian, so I lost a lot of weight, which I'm happy about. But my body fat percentage has not shifted one iota, and that concerns me. My body composition currently is at 37.6%, which it was around 8 years ago, so I think it's body fat reading. My question is, how important is fat in diet to burn fat, and what are the best fat-burning exercises? And please don't say aerobic exercises, because I hate running. One regard today. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to not enjoying running.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for people, trying to get rid of that myth already, you don't need to run. to change your body composition, you don't need to run. I do believe in aspects of cardio, but the cardio that I give my clients is more interval-based and it's short duration. The problem is, for a lot of people, they do too much cardio, especially when they're looking at altering their body composition, and then they start, I'll just kind of give you a breakdown of what can happen, but say somebody's running for a period over 40 minutes, let's say 40 minutes to an hour, a few things can happen in the body. One, depending on their current stress levels, they're increasing the amount of stress and they're putting that through the body, so their systems, like their hormone system, is suddenly suffering. The other thing is, in terms of muscle mass, they're losing muscle, or they're potentially, let's say they're potentially losing muscle after that 40-minute period, because they're using that potentially as a fuel. So I'm running definitely doesn't need to be a part of the equation. I think cardio can mean a lot of things. It can mean, like I said to this already, like skipping around the room, getting your heart rate. Just cardio means hard. I am a big believer in more of the high-intensity work, so I do a lot of kind of might be hitting pads with clients and then having a rest. So they may do 2 minutes on and 1 minute kind of low-intensity and a minute on high-intensity. But they might say, okay, well, I'm going to get on the cross trainer and I'm going to do just 15 minutes, but I'm going to do it at a higher intensity. Obviously, you've got to watch out where you're starting from, so you've got to build a base first, and I don't say to people just starting, like, suddenly just go helter-skelter for, like, 5 minutes, but short 15 minutes regularly is a good start, and more doesn't mean better when it comes to that cardio aspect. And then running also, I think I'm not and don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing running because I used to really love it myself, but the amount of people out there with dysfunctional bodies who are just crashing their body and their joints are just going through a lot of pain and they're putting themselves in a lot of, like, in a bad position because their body is dysfunctional. It's not balanced. They spend their day sitting in front of an office and suddenly you're seated and these things called hip flexors get really tight and they pull your posture forward and you're sitting at your computer and suddenly your whole body is changing and your posture's changed and you start running and then the stresses start going through these parts that aren't liking it too much. So for a lot of people when I see them running, I'm like, like let's do a flexibility program first. Let's incorporate rebounding. Let's incorporate let's go walk up a hill. Let's maybe if you wanted to do some skipping or something like that. But definitely, Kate, you don't need to do running. I would definitely say weight in terms of resistance training needs to be a part of it. So if you've tried kind of going, okay, well, let's get out some free weights, let's have somebody show me what I can do with it, I might get a stability ball, but you definitely need to have that aspect in there. And in terms of kind of, obviously, like I said, the flexibility part, having that in there too. But in terms of the fat part, as I said before, fat is an absolute component to everyone. We all need it. You've just got to differentiate good fats from bad fats. And for those kind of to go over, I've written a few articles and one on good fats and bad fats that people can kind of check out on the site when they get a chance. But like I said, you've got to watch out, especially for those hydrogenated ones. They're nasty. They're man-made and they're not doing you any good. But the other ones, like having components where you might have flaxseed, you may use fish oils, you may have olive oil, you may have like grapeseed oil, things like your nuts and seeds contain fat. Everyone's scared of that. Eggs contain fat and healthy fats, and keep the egg whole, please. Like, they're important to the body, and they're important part. If you're neglecting that, then especially in terms of body composition, then it can be having a negative aspect to that. Your body's not functioning as well as it should be. Now, as I said before, we are all a little bit different. You've got to work out what the right ratio is, and that's primarily, there are a lot of tests, but you can just watch your body and see, how did I feel after this meal? And that's what you want to be getting into. That's why I'm big on food diaries for everybody, is just to say, well, look, write down what you felt, and for Kay to be saying, okay, well, let's add a little bit of fat here. Yeah. You've kind of neglected. Let's, with your salads, start having your olive oil. Let's introduce some more in terms of nuts, seeds, maybe flaxseed in the morning. Let's see how you're feeling after that. How's that changing it? The one big problem with fat is people have a problem digesting it. That's where they might need some form of digestive enzymes because maybe they ate a few too many processed foods. They didn't look after their digestive system as well. So that's where people have problems with fat. That's why I recommend if you think, okay, well, I feel funny after I ate that fat, is maybe seeing a naturopath and kind of saying, okay, how's my digestive system? They might recommend a digestive enzyme. But definitely, Kate, fat needs to be a part of it, and you do not need to do running. Just remember the need for muscle, cardio in moderation, and having a component of stretching.
Okay, that's brilliant. Now, Craig, we're getting very close to the hour.
Oh, wow.
But, well, you shared some tremendous ideas throughout the call, and I've been taking notes personally, and I'm sure people on the call have been taking notes with great fervour. But if you are on the call, please just to let you know that we have actually recorded this telephone conversation or this teleseminar, and it will be made available. Now, there also have no doubt people on the call who have really connected with Craig's message and his ideologies and his philosophies and want to actually find out more about Craig and the work that he does. And for those of you who are interested, Craig has a phenomenal website with a whole ton of great free resources. And I was just wondering, Craig, if you'd just give me a little bit of a rundown about how people can access these great resources.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. I mean, I'd love to. The website is called, I think it's www.3D, P for Peter, T for Tom, S for Sam.com. So that's 3DPTS.com, three-dimensional personal training systems. And I've been lucky, like, I have a great business partner who kind of, I throw all this stuff at him, and then he organizes it. He's much better at doing that than me. And he's structured it, I mean, I love how he structured it. Because we've got over 50 articles, and I said a few times during the call, like, I have an article on this, and so you'll see your good fats, bad fats, you think about grains, think about gluten intolerance, or water, or even... There's an article on three-dimensional, kind of what we've talked about through this seminar now, three-dimensional personal training and what elements and how important sleep is. So you can just go to the website and you'll see a thing called free tools and you can download a lot of stuff. So you can read all the articles and I've put them into body, mind and spirit. So there are some articles in terms of the motivation too under mind and spirit. I have some interviews with other people, but also some books that I recommend and kind of like ways of expressing yourself even better. And then on there, yeah, we've got a couple of videos on YouTube. We have a free elimination diet. We have a free seven-part series. A questionnaire, people can access a questionnaire. Now, it's automated, so I'll get a response. And so they may be saying, well, the question's like, well, do you eat like this or do you train like this? And then it'll come back and give you a response, say, well, maybe try this. So there's a lot of stuff on there. I'm kind of big, as you can tell, on education because there are so many fallacies. And any time my library is pretty massive and I love getting out there and not only kind of spreading the word but also learning from a lot of people because there's so many people that have really influenced and shaped me. So I like to then put that down and say, okay, this is what our philosophy on this is. But yeah, you'll find a lot of free resources on the site. We also have a monthly newsletter. But yeah, definitely I'd recommend checking out if you've kind of liked what you've heard today and kind of thought, oh, I want to know more about this or that. I wonder if he's got something on there. So
I'm an avid subscriber and... But I do enjoy getting your messages through in the email. Now, from a personal consultation point of view, there's definitely going to be people listening to the call that would want to work with you personally, Craig. How would they go about doing that? And what sort of services?
In terms of my schedule, I am. I didn't want to say I'm pretty busy. I do travel a lot. I'm here at the moment and then I'm back in Germany on Saturday and then I'm in London for 2 weeks and then I'm back and then I'm in Dublin for 2 weeks. So it's a bit crazy at the moment, but I love it. I love getting out there and kind of chatting with people and kind of teaching something or helping someone out. But there's a number there and we also, in terms of you could send an email across, we do have certain posts in terms of whether it's a consultation with me or you may even look and you find, okay, well, there's an e-book there, 21-Day Roadmap to Health. So that I've made it, I'm very big on kind of giving people a chance to take this on as especially cost-wise, because it does, I mean, health and fitness can cost a bit of money and in terms of education, so I definitely recommend checking out the books. And but if you're interested in having a chat with me, which I'd love to, or any kind of the other tools, we offer a few other things in terms of assessments like hair mineral analysis, then give us a call or send an email across. But definitely have a check out of the website first.
Great. And just that website address again is www.3dpts.com.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now we've run out of time, Craig. There was a question that I did want to ask you on the call that came in through the site, but I didn't actually get a chance to ask you.
Okay.
And it was a question from Mark in the United Kingdom. I just thought we could finish on this, actually. What is your secret to living a life with abundance of passion and energy?
Wow. Yeah. I suppose what comes to mind is you've got to find out what you're passionate about and kind of live accordingly, like you do in terms of helping people and all your aspects. And I suppose for me too, like, I love this sort of topic, and I suppose you gather I love talking about it. And I suppose you summarise it by saying following your bliss, following what you love to do that gets you up now, and doing it as much as possible. Some people may be restricted in terms of, okay, I'm in a job that maybe it's challenging and I'm not as happy, but outside of that, doing as much that gets your blood going. Because that switch, somebody may be low in energy, and I see that all the time, people not feeling down, and suddenly you kind of add that seed and they're like, wow, yeah, I can make a difference here, or I love talking about this, or I love this sort of topic, or I want to learn more about this. And so find what you love doing and do it as often as you can, and you'll realize that you just wake up at 5 a.m. going, wicked, I can't wait to chat to people. So yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. And that's the whole ethos of these calls, actually, the people you should meet calls, that's in terms of things that I do each week that I absolutely love to do. This is definitely one of the highlights of my week, just being able to connect with inspirational people from all over the world, and also people that are really fired up to transform their lives and make the most out of their life. And I think, Craig, look, this is a call that I've enjoyed immensely. You've shared so many great pieces of information. You've shared a lot of your life experience, and not only that, like you got up at 5 a.m. in Perth on the other side of the world just to share your wisdom. So I just wanted to really take this opportunity to thank you for setting the alarm early this morning and getting up and giving it everything.
I mean, it's been great, and I thanks to you for kind of setting this up, because I love kind of this topic, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and great questions from everybody.
That was
a good question.
Fantastic questions came through the site.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people kind of tick that box and go, yeah, I know what that person's going through. I have that same feeling. So yeah, I hope we've helped in some way, and it was good fun.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks everyone for your questions to the site, and thanks for your active participation tonight. And I look forward to hearing from you through the website, or meeting you on a call in the not too distant future. And yeah, thanks again, Craig. And for more information on Craig, check out www.3dpts.com. Thanks everyone. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.